time to get underway with Radio Friendships. Stay tuned as your hosts, Don and Sandra Tipton, share exciting news about what God is doing throughout the world in this missions-minded radio broadcast.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed, the producer of Radio Friendships, standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited. Well, this being the end of the year, we'd like to bring you a best of program. And as you realize, Radio Friendships consists mainly of interviews. But within those interviews, there are little production projects that go on, of which some of them that we have been very blessed to be a part of, not only making, but airing them to you. And we hope they've been a blessing to you. So today we put a collection of some of those projects into one program for your enjoyment. And we're going to start with one from Scott Rogers, a man that was fatally burned in an automobile accident. Let's listen to this.
I grew up with a lot of baggage as a kid. My parents had divorced when I was about 7 years old, and I carry anger around, but I never really let it out. My father was really tough on me. I was taught that it was unacceptable to cry. I could remember if I got hit, if I cried, I got hit worse. So I learned not to. So I kept all that in, including missing my mom. One day, the supervisor of the electrical crew stopped by before work, and we were sitting there, and I sat on my toolbox, and I really realized that I'd sinned against the Lord. I knew I had no hope. I knew I deserved hell, and I knew I was going to go there, and nothing was going to change it until he told me the other half of Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he shared that with me, and he told me that Christ would forgive me and that he died to take my punishment. I remember it was 9 o'clock, and I just made a right turn, and the girls were asleep, and it got dark all of a sudden, like my lights failed. I don't, to this day, know what exactly happened, and I hit a tree head-on doing 60 miles an hour. All of a sudden, the flames started, and I looked up, and the fire was in front of my face, and I tried blowing it out, but I couldn't, and it just started growing and growing. I realized that we're all going to die. I just had to sit there and wait for it. I screamed out for Jesus, and I begged him to please take us so it wouldn't hurt and to take us quickly. I felt the fire hit me and I started to scream and eventually I blacked out. I woke up to hearing sizzling and feeling it on my body, and I don't know why, because at that point in time there were no nerves left. To this day the doctors don't know how long I was dead for, but I remember seeing a light, and it was a bright white light there. It wasn't a yellow light, it was white. Like just a pure light is how I would describe it. And the closer I got to it, I imagine I was about 5 or 6 feet away from it, and I realized it was a man, and the white light was coming from his face. I could make out the white robe, the gold sash that he wore, and I could tell that his hair was wavy and long, about almost to the shoulder. But as far as the eyes, nose, and mouth, that was where the light was beaming out of. I could not see the face. And I remember knowing in my heart that it was Jesus Christ. I didn't have to see it with my eyes to know it was him, almost like a baby knows its mother. And I remember being just as awake as I am talking to you, Jeff, right now. It felt just like that. I couldn't see behind him. I could just see him and just look at him. And I remember just knowing he could see right through me. And he knew what I did. He knew what just happened. He knew everything I had done. I remember the biggest thing is I knew he loved me and he wasn't mad at me, and I knew he forgave me.
Next up is a sample of Dorothy Miller as she did a series explaining the inspiration of some well-known hymns.
Sometimes we sing songs and they sound good and we're just going through the motions, not to know what they really mean or how they came about. We're missing something. There's a song that a lot of people grew up on in earlier years called Blessed Assurance. And in that song, there's lines such as, watching and waiting, looking above. That's one line. Or, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Whoever wrote that song was seeing something beyond. And it's very interesting because the writer of that song is Fanny J. Crosby. And at 5 days old, through a doctor's error, she was blinded. At 19, she became a believer. She wrote over 6,000 hymns. And you look in your hymn book, check it out. Every song she wrote has something about seeing, because she saw beyond the natural sight. Imagine watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. I think that's a sight that Fanny J. Crosby had that we should pray for as well.
And now, my lovely wife, Anne Reed, as she reads a writing she originally wrote for one of the coffee nights here at Friendships, called Walk With Me.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me. I'd stay in the garden with him though the night around me is falling, but he bids me to go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. Take your sandals off. Walk with me. Walk with me. In the dirt, in the blood, in the dark, in the cold. I'm betrayed, pushed around, denied, rejected. Walk with me. Why do you claim right to yourself? I am the Son of Man, the Son of God. Walk with me. Why do you claim right to yourself? My heart yearns for you to be one with me and the Father. Walk with me. You walk with me. I came as nothing. I left as nothing. Walk with me. I cry out to you. Walk with me. I never claimed right to myself. Walk with me. I washed the feet of those who betrayed and rejected me. Walk with me. I prayed for you. You rejected me. Walk with me. I gave myself up for you. Walk with me. I bled through my sweat for you. Walk with me. You walk with me. I grieved for you. I grieve for you. I grieve with you. Walk with me. Know that I am with you. Walk with me. I am in you. I am in your neighbor, in the one you hate. Walk with me. Love your enemies. Walk with me. Love each other. Walk with me. Find me in my children. Find me there. I'm there. Walk with me.
And now a word from the president of Friendships Unlimited, Mrs. Sandra Tipton.
The days ordained for us are written in God's book before one of them comes to be. It doesn't matter who your family is, how much money you have, what house you live in, or the education you have. There's a bigger picture. Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the king's palace when he heard that the wall around Jerusalem was destroyed. He was deeply moved and he made a decision to leave a good job, assemble a team, travel to Jerusalem, and repair the wall. His team continued to work even as they were ridiculed and threatened. They worked with one hand and held a weapon in the other. God created our inmost being. He knit us together in our mother's womb, and like Nehemiah, we aren't just passing through this planet by chance. There's a reason for you being here on earth. Are you living the days ordained for you by God?
Here's some testimonials from our recent graduates of the RAMP program. Why would you recommend this?
It's been an awesome year. You will make some great friends, grow closer to God, learn some really awesome trades. One of the things, just getting to know the ministry and working with everybody here, is just a really cool thing to do.
I think it's been a great thing because before I came here, I wasn't walking with the Lord, and I really found a relationship with the Lord here. He changed my life for good. So we were talking before about the spiritual aspect out of this that I got is just preparing for battle when I leave here, because I go back to the world after I leave here. Lots of non-Christian friends and family and school. But I just think that He's prepared me to be a light in the dark places. And another great thing is the friendships, the brothers and sisters I've made here, that to know that I can call them at any time that I need help or prayer, and to know that they'll sit down and take the time to pray with me or just talk with me. I made lifelong friends, like people that I'll never forget. They'll be invited to my wedding someday, you know, and people I'll go and visit all the time. It's been a great year. It's been a reviving year.
Friendships was really great for me personally. It shows you different truths about the world, and it's like a detox from everything that you thought was true before you came. And so you come out differently, and you come out with a new perspective on life, different eyes.
Coming here, you have lifelong lessons and experiences that will change your life.
We're going to be leaving our information behind, email address and stuff. You know, sometimes you may not... you want a first account, like you talk to somebody and nobody, you know, they'll tell you what they got written down on paper, what it's about and stuff. But if you really want to know what it's about and you want to talk to somebody, our information will be here that if you called them, you can get in touch with one of us and I'll sit down and talk to anybody about it, you know.
Definitely.
Wow, that's everybody here?
Yeah.
Everybody here? So
definitely.
We'll make that available to anybody that wants that information. Call Friendships at 337-433-5022 and we'll get you any of that information. And now we have a project that we originally did for the 4th of July, but the message is timeless, especially with the help of Nicole Douglas, the daughter of Murray and Carla Douglas, long-term crew members here at Friendships.
Congratulations to the birth of United States of America. For the public, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Fourth of July is upon us, and it's a great time to reflect and think upon the freedoms that were provided to us by people that have gone before us. There's an interesting part of American history found in the story of Abraham Lincoln. One day, Abraham Lincoln went to a slave market. There he noted a young, beautiful African-American woman being auctioned off to the highest bidder. He bid on her and won. And witnesses said that you could see the anger in the young woman's eyes and could imagine what she was thinking. Just another white man that will buy me, use me, put me in the fields, and then discard me. As Abraham Lincoln walked off with his property, he turned to the woman and said, "You're free." And the angry woman looked at him and said, "Oh, what do you mean I'm free? I can say whatever I want to say?" And he said, "Yes, you're free. You can say whatever you want to say." Still in disbelief and full of anger, the woman then turned to him and said, "Does that mean I can be whoever I want to be?" And Abraham Lincoln said, "Yes, you can be whoever you want to be." As her face softened, she looked at him and asked one more question. She said, "Does it mean I can go wherever I want to go?" And he said, "Yes, you're free. You can go wherever you want to go." And then as the crowd noticed that her eyes were full of tears and her voice trembling, she turned to him and said, "Then I will go with you." This story is a great illustration of the freedom found through Christ. We were the slaves, and He paid the highest price for us, and then set us free with no condition. I think it is a reasonable response from us all to say, "I will follow you."
Help our day. Be blessed. I love you, God. Amen.
Friendships calling Spirit of Grace. Spirit of Grace, come back. Golf, Romeo, Alpha, Charlie, Echo.
This is Spirit of Grace, ready with a daily briefing. This is Sandra Tipton with the Friendship's Historical Briefing from Ashdod, Israel, December 2003. Christmas Eve, after 54 days at sea, the great ship Spirit of Grace and her mighty crew arrived in Israel and docked at the port of Ashdod. In spite of many major obstacles that had to be overcome, the people of Israel opened their hearts and the great nation of Israel opened her gates to our mission. Although the government had no law in place that allowed them to waive customs fees and port fees for such a gift of love, their head offices committed to finding a way to receive the supplies without our organization having to pay customs or any other fees. God made a way where there is no way and broke through the bars of iron. Thanks to the Prime Minister's office and the Ministries of Finance, Transportation, Tourism, Welfare, and Defense, the way was established that the Spirit of Grace arrived as the guest of the government. The officials of the Port of Ashdod hosted us with overwhelming love. On Christmas Day, we were served a scrumptious dinner by the port and honored for what we were doing for the nation. They sent us gifts of fresh Israeli produce, filled our tanks with fresh Israeli water, hired a tour bus to take us to the historic city of Jaffa, and even gave us a festive New Year's Eve party aboard ship. Our first-class customs and ships agents worked without charge and took care of every need. Also provided without charge for the Spirit of Grace were tugboats, pilots, moorage, warehousing, and stevedores to offload the ship so that our crew did not have to do this work. We discharged our precious supplies, which were distributed to people in need throughout the nation. Our wonderful crew, who invested 2 years of their lives into this mission, had very special private tours of many of the historic sites of Israel. The Joseph Project, an organization with whom we joint ventured on this mission, treated the crew to these tours, and our great guide made them extraordinary. This is Sandra Tipton from the Spirit of Grace. This is the conclusion of the Friendship's Historical Briefing. Spirit of Grace, out.
And now a word from Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
God told Jeremiah that before he formed him in the womb, he knew him and appointed him as a prophet to the nations. When the Apostle Paul came to know Jesus, he was told that he had been appointed as a servant and a witness, that he should go to Damascus, and there he would be told all that he had been assigned to do. The Bible contains many examples of people called by God to do something specific. In fact, Ephesians says that we're saved by grace to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Psalms tells us that all the days of our lives were written in the book before one of them came to be. Isaiah said he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And Isaiah responded, "Here I am, send me." When the Lord asks you, "Who will go for us?" do you say, "Please, Lord, send me"?
And now we have a sample of our good and faithful crew set to a song written specifically for Friendships by the Nash Three. As you set out on this mission, what would you ask listeners to pray for?
Pray for specific wisdom and direction for the leaders here. There's so much to do and organize, and it's pretty crazy here, but we just ask that the Lord would discern where and what we're supposed to do. And so that's what I would specifically ask for prayer for. My name is Angela Cornier, and I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
That the Lord's will would definitely be done, and that He would keep us safe on this trip, and we would all just bond in together. I'm Hannah, and I'm from Tupelo, Mississippi.
I don't want to see another child hungry. I don't want to see another child crying. So much hurt in the world, we can't close our eyes to. When we open our hearts, that's when we start to make a difference. Can you hear that voice?
Can you hear that voice?
Calling out to you.
Calling out to you.
Does anybody care?
What I'm going to
what ways would you ask people to pray for this mission?
Well, to prepare the people and to prepare us to be able to say the right things, because it's so important that we be careful of our words, because we're going to people that have absolutely lost absolutely everything. And it's a tragic situation, and it seems so much tragic in this world that we have so many of these situations happening. And I think that to be able to ask God for the wisdom, for words, just the right words to say, know that we touch them where they need to be touched and help them where they need to be helped.
Just for all of us to be open and let the Lord work through us, and for us to go with Jesus, looking to Jesus and nothing else. It's not about us, it's about Him, and that everyone that we're serving them, we're coming representing the Lord. I'm Deborah Fletcher, and I'm from Plainview, Texas.
In what ways would you ask people to pray for this mission?
Pretty much that we remain sensitive to the voice of God, that we do what He's telling us to do, that we truly expect Him to work when we ask Him to do something. I think just having that expectation of seeing God move is probably going to be the biggest need. A lot of times we get pretty immune to God moving. We pray without any real sense of expecting God to do anything. My name's Murray Douglas, and I'm originally from New Zealand.
I would certainly ask that we'll be able to outreach into these people and be able to witness to them in the way that we should be able to witness to them, with love, with the word, so that they'll receive that word and that love and they'll accept Jesus Christ into their lives. My name's Gordon. I'm from Australia.
God's going to move. He's moving all the time, but He's just waiting on us to say, send me.
Well, we're going to have to finish up the program today, and we're going to do that with a clip from Don Piper, the author of 90 Minutes in Heaven.
And on a Wednesday morning, I'm headed back to my church. It was a cold, rainy January morning in 1989, and not 10 minutes, I was crossing a rural, narrow bridge, and a tractor-trailer truck, an 18-wheeler, crossed the center stripe and hit me head-on, crushed the car with me in it, and I was killed instantly, fatality. Four different sets of emergency medical technicians pronounced me dead on the scene, and during the time I was pronounced dead, and I was indeed dead here on earth, I was standing at the gates of heaven. So that lasted about 90 minutes, so I didn't have a near-death experience. I was really actually deceased, and then I had a chance to glimpse heaven and know just how real it is.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, heaven is the most real thing I've ever experienced. And there really were gates made of pearl. There really was a street made of gold. There were people who surrounded me, who greeted me at the gates, were people who helped me get there, and they were all magnificent in their appearance, without scars, without blemishes, without age. And I've got lots of scars on me, but I didn't have any in heaven. Nobody has scars in heaven except Jesus, to remind the rest of us of how we got there.
Well, thank you for joining us in the year of 2008. We've enjoyed it, and we hope you have. Have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.